Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 10. The Old Testament scriptures, and those written by Moses in particular, do everywhere make mention of the Son of God, and foretell his advent and passion. From this fact it follows that they were inspired by one and the same God. Wherefore also John does appropriately relate that the Lord said to the Jews, "You search the scriptures in which you think you have eternal life. These are those which testify of me. And you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. How, therefore, did the scriptures testify of him, unless they were from one and the same Father, instructing men beforehand as to the coming of his Son, and foretelling the salvation brought in by him? For if you had believed Moses, you also would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Saying this, no doubt, because the Son of God is implanted everywhere throughout his writings, at one time, indeed, speaking with Abraham when about to eat with him, at another time with Noah, giving him the dimensions of the ark, at another, inquiring after Adam, at another, bringing down judgment upon the Sodomites, and again, when he becomes visible, and directs Jacob on his journey, and speaks with Moses from the burning bush. And it would be endless to recount the occasions upon which the Son of God is shown forth by Moses. Of the day of his passion, too, he was not ignorant, but foretold him after a figurative manner by the name given to the Passover, and at that very festival which had been proclaimed such a long time previously by Moses, did our Lord suffer the Passion, thus fulfilling the Passover, the Pasch. And he did not describe the day only, but the place also, and the time of day at which the suffering ceased, and the sign of the setting of the sun, saying, "You may not sacrifice the Passover within any other of your cities which the Lord God gives you, but in the place which the Lord your God shall choose that his name be called on there, you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, towards the setting of the sun." And already Moses had also declared Jesus his advent, saying, "There shall not fail a chief in Judah, nor a leader from his loins, until he come for whom it is laid up. And he is the hope of the nations, binding his foal to the vine, and his ass's colt to the creeping ivy. He shall wash his stole in wine, and his upper garment in the blood of the grape. His eyes shall be more joyous than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. For let those who have the reputation of investigating everything inquire at what time a prince and leader failed out of Judah, and who is the hope of the nations, who also is the vine, what was the ass's colt referred to as his, what the clothing, and what the eyes, what the teeth, and what the wine, and thus let them investigate every one of the points mentioned, and they shall find out that there was none other announced than our Lord Christ Jesus. Wherefore Moses, when chiding the ingratitude of the people, said, "You infatuated people and unwise, do you thus requite the Lord?" And again, Moses indicates that he who from the beginning founded and created them, the Word, who also redeems and vivifies us in the last times, is shown as hanging on the tree, and they will not believe in him. For he says, "And thy life shall be hanging before your eyes, and you will not believe your life." And again, "Has not this same one, your father, owned you, and made you, and created you?" Chapter 11. The old prophets and righteous men knew beforehand of the coming of Christ, and earnestly desired to see and hear him, he revealing himself in the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit, and without any change in himself, enriching men day by day with benefits, but conferring them in greater abundance on later than on former generations. But that it was not only the prophets and many righteous men who, foreseeing through the Holy Spirit his coming, prayed that they might attain to that period in which they should see their Lord face to face and hear his words. The Lord has made manifest when he says to his disciples, "Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." In what way, then, did they desire both to hear and to see, unless they had foreknowledge of his future coming? But how could they have foreknown it, unless they had previously received foreknowledge from himself? And how did the Scriptures testify of him, unless all things had ever been revealed and shown to believers by one and the same God through the Word, he at one time conferring with his creature, and at another propounding his law, at one time again reproving, at another exhorting, and then setting free his servant and adopting him as a son, and at the proper time bestowing an incorruptible inheritance for the purpose of bringing man to perfection? For he formed him for growth and increase, as the Scripture says, "Increase and multiply." And in this respect, God differs from man, that God indeed makes, but man is made, and truly, he who makes is always the same. But that which is made must receive both beginning and middle and addition and increase. And God does indeed create after a skillful manner, while man, he is created skillfully. God also is truly perfect in all things, himself equal and similar to himself, as he is all light, and all mind, and all substance, and the fount of all good. But man receives advancement and increase toward God. For as God is always the same, so also man, when found in God, shall always go on toward God. For neither does God at any time cease to confer benefits upon, or to enrich man, nor does man ever cease from receiving the benefits, and being enriched by God. For the receptacle of his goodness, and the instrument of his glorification, is the man who is grateful to him that made him. And again, the receptacle of his just judgment is the ungrateful man, who both despises his Maker, and is not subject to his word, who has promised that he will give very much to those always bringing forth fruit, and more to those who have the Lord's money. "Well done," he says, "good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in little, I will appoint you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The Lord himself thus promises very much. As therefore he has promised to give very much to those who do now bring forth fruit, according to the gift of his grace, but not according to the changeableness of knowledge, for the Lord remains the same, and the same Father is revealed. Thus therefore has one and the same Lord granted, by means of his coming, a greater gift of grace to those of a later period than what he had granted to those under the Old Testament dispensation. For they indeed used to hear, by means of his servants, that the king would come, and they rejoiced to a certain extent, inasmuch as they hoped for his coming. But those who have beheld him actually present, and have obtained liberty, and been made partakers of his gifts, do possess a greater amount of grace, and a higher degree of exaltation, rejoicing because of the king's arrival. As also David says, My soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall be glad in his salvation. And for this cause, upon his entrance into Jerusalem, all those who were in the way recognized David their king in his sorrow of soul, and spread their garments for him, and ornamented the way with green boughs, crying out with great joy and gladness, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! But to the envious, wicked stewards, who circumvented those under them, and ruled over those that had no great intelligence, and for this reason were unwilling that the king should come, and who said to him, Do you hear what these say? Did the Lord reply, Have you never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings have you perfected praise? Thus pointing out that what had been declared by David concerning the Son of God was accomplished in his own person, and indicating that they were indeed ignorant of the meaning of the Scripture and the dispensation of God, but declaring that it was himself who was announced by the prophets as Christ, whose name is praised in all the earth, and who perfects praise to his Father from the mouth of babes and sucklings. Wherefore also his glory has been raised above the heavens. If, therefore, the selfsame person is present who was announced by the prophets, our Lord Jesus Christ, and if his coming has brought in a fuller measure of grace and greater gifts to those who have received him, it is plain that the Father also is himself the same who was proclaimed by the prophets, and that the Son, on his coming, did not spread the knowledge of another Father, but of the same who was preached from the beginning, from whom also he has brought down liberty to those who, in a lawful manner, and with a willing mind, and with all their hearts, do him service. Whereas to scoffers, and to those not subject to God, but who follow outward purifications for the praise of men, which observances had been given as a type of future things, the law typifying, as it were, certain things in a shadow, and delineating eternal things by temporal, celestial by terrestrial. And to those who pretend that they do themselves observe more than what has been prescribed, as if preferring their own zeal to God himself, while within they are full of hypocrisy and covetousness and all wickedness. To such has he assigned everlasting perdition by cutting them off from life. Chapter 12. It clearly appears that there was but one author of both the Old and the New Law, from the fact that Christ condemned traditions and customs repugnant to the former, while he confirmed its most important precepts, and taught that he was himself the end of the Mosaic law. For the tradition of the elders themselves, which they pretended to observe from the law, was contrary to the law given by Moses. Wherefore also Isaiah declares, Your dealers mix the wine with water, showing that the elders were in the habit of mingling a watered tradition with the simple command of God, as also, that is, they set up a spurious law and one contrary to the true law, as also the Lord made plain, when he said to them, Why do you transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For not only by actual transgression did they set the law of God at nothing, mingling the wine with water, but they also set up their own law in opposition to it, which is termed even to the present day the Pharisaical. In this they suppress certain things, add others, and interpret others again as they think proper, which their teachers use, each one in particular. And desiring to uphold these traditions, they were unwilling to be subject to the law of God, which prepares them for the coming of Christ. But they did even blame the Lord for healing on the Sabbath days, which, as I have already observed, the law did not prohibit. For they did themselves, in one sense, perform acts of healing upon the Sabbath day, when they circumcised a man. But they did not blame themselves for transgressing the command of God through tradition and the aforesaid Pharisaical law, and for not keeping the commandment of the law, which is the love of God. But that this is the first and greatest commandment, and that the next toward our neighbor, the Lord has taught. When he says that the entire law and the prophets hang upon these two commandments. Moreover, he did not himself bring down any other commandment greater than this one, but renewed this very same one to his disciples, when he enjoined them to love God with all their heart, and others as themselves. But if he had descended from another father, he never would have made use of the first and greatest commandment of the law, but he would undoubtedly have endeavored by all means to bring down a greater one than this from the perfect Father, so as not to make use of that which had been given by the God of the law. And Paul, in like manner, declares, "Love is the fulfillment of the law." And that when all other things have been destroyed, there shall remain faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all is love. And that apart from the love of God, neither knowledge avails anything, nor the understanding of mysteries, nor faith, nor prophecy, but that without love all are hollow and vain. Moreover, that love makes man perfect, and that he who loves God is perfect, both in this world and in that which is to come. For we do never cease from loving God, but in proportion as we continue to contemplate him, so much the more do we love him. As in the law, therefore, and in the gospel, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with your whole heart. And then there follows a commandment like to it, to love one's neighbor as oneself. The author of the law and the gospel is shown to be one and the same. For the precepts of an absolutely perfect life, since they are the same in each testament, have pointed out to us the same God, who has certainly promulgated particular laws adapted for each, but the more prominent and the greatest, without which salvation cannot be attained, he has exhorted us to observe the same in both. The Lord, too, does not do away with this, when he shows that the law was not derived from another God, expressing himself as follows to those who were being instructed by him, to the multitude and to his disciples. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, observe that and do it. But do not do like their works. For they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not so much as move them with a finger. Therefore he did not throw blame upon that law which was given by Moses, when he exhorted it to be observed, Jerusalem being as yet in safety. But he did throw blame upon these persons, because they repeated indeed the words of the law, but were without love. And for this reason were they held as being unrighteous as respects God and as respects their neighbors. As also Isaiah says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men." He does not call the law given by Moses commandments of men, but the traditions of the elders themselves which they had invented, and in upholding which they made the law of God of no effect, and were on this account also not subject to his word. For this is what Paul says concerning these men, For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believes. And how is Christ the end of the law, if he is not also the final cause of it? For he who has brought in the end has also himself wrought the beginning. And it is he who does himself say to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have come down to deliver them. It being customary from the beginning with the word of God to ascend and descend for the purpose of saving those who were in affliction. Now, that the law did beforehand teach mankind the necessity of following Christ, he does himself make manifest, when he replied as follows to him who asked him what he should do that he might inherit eternal life. If you will enter into life, keep the commandments. But upon the other asking which, again the Lord replies, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Setting, as an ascending series, before those who wish to follow him, the precepts of the law, as the entrance into life. And what he then said to one, he said to all. But when the former said, I have done all these, and most likely he had not kept them, for in that case the Lord would not have said to him, Keep the commandments. The Lord, exposing his covetousness, said to him, If you will be perfect, go, sell all that you have, and distribute to the poor, and come, follow me. Promising to those who would act thus the portion belonging to the apostles. And he did not preach to his followers another God the Father besides him who was proclaimed by the law from the beginning, nor another Son, nor the Mother, the enthymesis of the aeon, who existed in suffering and apostasy, nor the pleroma of the 30 aeons, which has been proved vain and incapable of being believed in, nor that fable invented by the other heretics. But he taught that they should obey the commandments which God enjoined from the beginning, and do away with their former covetousness by good works, and follow after Christ. But that possessions distributed to the poor annul former covetousness, Zacchaeus made evident when he said, Behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone, I restore fourfold. End of chapter 12.